Previously on The Gunslinger's Bride.
Do you know who I am?
You're Mr. Brock, Zeke's uncle.
Well, yes.
Zeke said you've been gone for a long time. Said you were off fighting bad guys.
Something like that.
Oh, hello. Don't think we've met. Everett Matthews.
Brock and Kate.
Everett is my fiancé.
You're making things hard on Abby, you know?
Huh.
She's done the best she could raising a child alone and running a business. I don't want to see either one of them hurt, is all.
I'm not going to hurt them.
Not deliberately. I don't want you to get hurt either.
Oh, you're not leaving already, are you?
I'm sorry, Daisy. I'm exhausted. Thank you for a lovely evening.
The pleasure's all mine.
Whiskey.
You got it, Chief.
Thanks, Will.
Sure thing. How's Caleb?
Yeah, you'd probably know better than I.
Maybe once upon a time. He don't come around much anymore, ever since he got that new wife of his. Guess she made an honest man out of him.
Guess so. You happen to notice any newcomers tonight? Anyone look like they stumbled in from out of town?
Can't say I do. Looks like the regular crowd to me, more or less.
How about him? He a regular?
Can I get you fellas anything else?
Ruby, darling, why don't you come here and take a seat? You work too hard, and I spend too much money here every night to be sitting here without a pretty girl on my lap.
Everett? He's about as regular as they come.
Kincaid! Get your ass over here. We have an open seat.
That's all right, George. I'm just heading out.
Nonsense! I'll buy you a drink.
Can't say no to that.
Well, go on, Matthews. Deal the man in. Everyone know Brock Kincaid?
How's the butcher business been treating you, George?
Well, as long as people got a taste for meat, business stays booming. You should stop by the shop sometime. I can start a tab for you now that you're back in town.
That'd be great, thanks.
What are you doing back in Whitehorn anyway?
Brock is from Whitehorn.
Way I hear it, you hightailed out of here a long time ago. What brings you back?
A man don't gotta explain himself.
It's all right. Mr. Matthews is obviously quite concerned about my business, and I don't mind setting him straight. My family's here, and my family's ranch. I have every reason to come home.
But why now? You killed Abby's brother and took off without looking back. Why come back now?
I defended myself. If you know anything about that, then you know he came after me intent on murder. And if you knew anything about me, you'd know I'd never wanted to kill him. A dozen witnesses can tell you it was self-defense.
There weren't even charges against you? I guess it pays to have a rich, powerful family in Whitehorn.
An ever-widening circle of silence eddied across the smoky room. If the fool drew a gun, he would never know what had hit him. He wasn't wearing one where it could be seen, but he could have one beneath his jacket. Brock couldn't let that happen. Kill Abby's brother and then her fiancé? No. The situation had to be defused.
I would guess you've heard that Abby and I were friendly before everything happened. And now that I'm back, I suppose your confidence in her affections is shaky. I'd be a little nervous if I were in your place, too. So your manners are perfectly excusable.
You can go to hell, you cocky son of a bitch.
I think I just might. Beat sitting here with you.
Ruby, darling. Think we'll be needing another round over here. Best make Everett's a double.
God, he's lucky I didn't shoot him out of his goddamn chair. What the? Shh. It's okay. I'm not gonna hurt you. Here. Give us a sniff. Attaboy. Oh, you're hurt, aren't you? What is it, your leg? Shh. It's gonna be all right. I've got you. I'm here now. Abby. Abby. Wake up. Let me in.
Do you have any idea what time it is?
I need to take him upstairs.
Who?
Do you have an old blanket or something?
Why is there a dog in my living room?
Abby, the blanket, please.
Right, okay, lower your voice. Jonathan's sleeping. Here. He's hurt.
I know.
I think I have some ointment for those open wounds. Here you go, little guy.
I didn't know where else to take him. He looked too hurt to make it through the ride back to the ranch. Plus, I figured there was nothing I could do to make you hate me any more than you already do.
Can't argue with you there.
Here, let him sniff your hand.
Brock, what if he dies?
And at least I tried.
What if he lives long enough for Jonathan to get attached and then dies?
I won't let him die.
Gazing into Brock's impassioned blue eyes, she wondered what it would be like to have such confidence in oneself. To believe you held the power over life and death just by the strength of your will. Oddly enough, when he spoke the vow, she believed it, too. He was a man who got what he wanted.
Mama, what's going on?
Everything's fine, sweetheart. Brock is here, just needed my help with something. Go back to sleep.
Is that a dog? Is he hurt?
Not too bad, but we're gonna help him get all fixed up and feeling better.
He licked me. He likes me.
All right, time to go back to bed.
Do I have to?
Yes, darling, it's late. You're a growing boy.
Can Mr. Brock tuck me in?
Come on, partner.
Can I keep him?
I'm afraid that's up to your mom, Half Pint. Why don't we just focus on getting the little guy all healed up for now?
Dilly.
What's that?
I'm gonna name him Dilly.
You got it, partner. You sleep well now.
Thanks, Mr. Brock.
You're welcome, son. Do you have a shirt? Mine smells like a wet dog.
Here's one.
Thank you.
Wow, an actual thank you. I'm impressed.
I did say please about the blanket. I'm really a very polite person if you get to know me.
Yes, and I'm your fairy godmother. Oh, I have a dressing area over here.
We're adults, Abby. I think we're mature enough for you to handle seeing me shirtless without bursting into flames.
Give me the old one, I'll wash it for you.
Now I know you are my fairy godmother.
Give me that. And if I was, I'd turn you into a toad and let the dog eat you.
I think you're a bit confused. Fairy godmothers grant wishes. They don't turn men into toads.
You're right. Men do that on their own. I'll wash this, and if I hang it near the heater, it'll be dry by the morning.
Thank you.
That's twice.
I told you. I'm polite. Mind my manners. Say please and thank you. May I please kiss you?
Her heart jerked against her ribs. At that moment, his mouth was the most appealing sight she'd known. And she'd love nothing more than to feel it against hers.
Fuck, Abby.
That was not polite. Yes.
Yes, what?
Yes. You may kiss me.
At that moment, he could have said anything, and she wouldn't have cared. So attuned was she to the sensual onslaught of his dizzying nearness. She slid both hands to his back and pulled him closer. He hauled her against him as roughly as she grasped him in return, an explosive clash of bodies that pressed the buckle of his holster into her belly. With one arm around her back, pulling her forward, and the other hand at her nape, he kissed her with surprising restraint. His lips warm, pliant, insatiable. Abby ran her hands over his back, relishing the glorious feel of him, lost in the magic of his deep-drawn kiss. Brock sat at the foot of her bed and pulled her between widespread knees to frame her hips through her skirts and tip his face up to her throat. She skimmed her palms over his shoulders, kneaded his neck.
You don't know what heaven it is when you touch me.
If it was half what she felt when he touched her, she knew. He moved back, coaxing her forward to straddle his lap.
You know I hate those guns.
Your wish is my command. Anything else you'd like one of us to take off?
You don't have much left.
You, on the other hand. Remember how it was with us, Abby?
I remember.
You were always so sensitive to my touch. I remember the first time we were together. The way your body felt in my hands.
I don't have a young girl's body anymore.
Knowing that has kept me awake at night for weeks.
Never passive, Brock explored her bunched skirts to find the hem and glide his hands up her calves, beneath her drawers and over her knees to the tops of her stockings, where he found her skin and tickled enticingly with his fingertips. When the fabric restricted further exploration, he flattened his palms on her thighs through the cotton and rubbed upward. He created a rapturous suspense in her body, one she knew too well he could kindle and feed until both of them were sated and replete. One thumb found the placket in her drawers, and tentatively, enticingly, he stroked over the folds of her femininity and found her moist readiness. Abby sucked her breath in, squeezing her eyes shut in expectation, releasing her hold on his hair until her wrists draped over his shoulders.
Abby.
Each vocal caress of her name paralleled his stroking thumb. She shuddered uncontrollably under the focused assault, shamelessly indulging in the pleasure he gave. She wanted this in her life. She wanted passion and fire and anticipation and the intense perfection of lovemaking she'd only ever shared with Brock. She found his mouth with hers, tasted him impatiently. He drew his hand away, and she almost wept. He found the buttons at her throat and made quick work of opening her dress. Her head cleared enough to know it was time to make a decision. If she didn't stop this now, there would be no turning back. He kissed the skin of her chest, bared above her chemise. The kisses sent tingles across her shoulders and down to tighten her breasts. Finding the ribbons that held her chemise closed, he pulled them loose and spread the fabric, letting the cool air wash over her fevered skin. He buried his face between her breasts, and she hugged him close, tears coming to her eyes at the vividness of feeling. She didn't want to end this experience. She wanted to revel in it. Brock stood her up to remove her dress. Untying her petticoats, he helped her kick them off, then peeled down her stockings and drawers. He ran his hands over her hips and along her thighs worshipfully, then guided her to the bed, where she hastily peeled back the coverlet and sheets and reclined while he made quick work of the rest of his clothing. He closed a hand over her breast, and she bit her lip against a lusty groan. Drawing her other nipple into his mouth, he tortured it with his tongue and lips until she wanted to scream. Beneath Brock's hands, her sweet body trembled and tensed, twined and pressed. He remembered the combination of fragility and strength that had always made Abby unique and desirable. The energetic passion that had always matched his was still as fierce as ever. He explored leisurely, giving lavish attention to each place that caught his fancy or stole her breath, all the while gauging her arousal, yet prolonging the enjoyment for both of them, honing the inevitable to a fever pitch. Her breasts were fuller than he remembered, her hips more curvy, womanly changes that made him crazy with wanting her. She returned the caresses until he caught her wrists, stroked her damp shoulders, and slowed her down. He pushed to his knees and pulled her to a sitting position in the V of his thighs, facing away from him. She snuggled backward, eliciting an unrestrained groan from him. Arousal pounding now, he pulled her back, weighed her breasts in his palms, flicked her nipples with his thumbs until she drew up her knees and whimpered. Brock guided her to lie down, then stretched over her and took pleasure in the way she opened her silken body to him, eagerly drawing him close. Pressing into her, he captured her cry with his kiss, groaned against her mouth, and held himself perfectly still, lest he end the ecstasy as soon as it started. The tide abated, and he moved.
Abby
caught his face with one palm, and her chest jerked with a sob. He thrust them both over the edge.
Abby.
Brock had pulled the covers over both of them, but she had drawn away, torn between wanting to hold him close so badly that her arms ached and needing to distance herself so she could think. They were too different, and the past had built too many hindrances to conceive of any kind of compromise. She had accepted part of the responsibility for his leaving, but how could she forgive him his part? True, he hadn't known she was going to have a baby, but if he'd cared in the least, he would have stayed to find out. That thought jolted her into awareness, and her head buzzed for a full minute while she collected her thoughts. What if she'd gotten herself with child again? Abby clutched the edge of the covers and squeezed her eyes shut. It was highly unlikely that this one time had created a baby. She was a little more knowledgeable than she'd been back then, and she knew the number of times they'd been intimate in the past had increased the likelihood. This was one time, and she'd just finished her menses. The time between cycles made a difference, too, she'd read. Besides, fate couldn't be that cruel twice. Not that Jonathan was a mistake. She'd never regretted her child.
Abby.
Don't say anything. You only make it worse.
Worse than what? What just happened couldn't have been any better.
For you, you have no responsibilities. No concern for tomorrow. If things don't go your way, you simply leave and don't look back.
You're being unfair. And cruel.
I told you not to talk.
I'll go sleep on the couch. I'll bring Dilly to the ranch in the morning. Maybe I can fetch a wagon or something somewhere.
Dilly?
That's what Jonathan wanted to name him.
Don't bother. If you gave him a name, it's already too late. That dog is as good as his. Just go.
Fine. And for the record, I'm not the least bit sorry.
Of course you're not. This is lovely. Thank you for a beautiful dinner, Everett.
I must say, I was quite surprised when I came to pick you up tonight. I never figured you as a dog person.
I'm not. Well, it wasn't intentional. Jonathan's been nursing him to health. He's done a fine job of it, too.
Well, perhaps you can give that thing a bath. It smells disgusting.
I was thinking we might visit your place tonight. While Jonathan is at the Spencer's?
I live at the boarding house, as you well know, and any fraternizing with guests of the opposite sex is prohibited.
Certainly, you could sneak me in without anyone seeing.
I wouldn't even attempt it, and I'm shocked that you would ask.
It just seems our time together is always so brief.
That will change once we're married.
Would you like to come in for a coffee?
Some tea, perhaps. Thank you.
Everett, can I ask you something?
Of course.
Before you were interested in my company, did you have someone else in mind to court?
Why do you ask?
I don't know. I guess I thought a handsome bachelor like yourself would be more interested in someone younger, someone who'd never been married before.
You're not that old.
Seems I recall you were seeing one of the Cooper girls sometime back.
She married a rancher from up north.
Women aren't plentiful out here. I guess I was a prospect just because I was a female.
You're insinuating I'm not discriminating, which I assure you is not the case.
Good. Glad to know that not just anyone would do.
You're behaving rather strangely, Abby.
Am I? A woman wants to be assured that the man she's going to marry finds her desirable. Do you find me desirable? Everett?
without question.
I don't just mean as marriage material. I mean as a partner. You know?
I don't think this is an appropriate conversation.
Between two people who are engaged? Why ever not?
Ladies don't talk about such things.
I see. Forget talking, then. Kiss me.
If she didn't know better, she would swear he was afraid. In the back of her mind, a faint taunt rang.
My God, woman, you'd eat him alive.
His lips were warm and soft, not objectionable, but strangely static, as if he was suddenly unable to breathe or move.
You don't really want Matthews.
She kissed him harder, determined to prove the voice in her head wrong if it killed her.
Touch me.
I should go. This wasn't wise.
No? I suppose not. Good night, then.
Good night, Abby.
Then, what have I said about running into the street?
Slow down there, partner. You don't want to spook her. There we go.
Wow! Mama, look! Brock gave me a horse. A horse of my very own.
Did he, now?
I can even name her. Ain't she pretty?
And where will you keep this horse of yours?
She can stay at Brock's ranch. And I can see her there. Can I, Brock?
Sure can.
Ain't it grand?
It sure is.
Can I ride her now? Can I?
Yeah, you need a little practice first. This road through town gets busy and dangerous. I'll walk you back to the ranch and you can give her a go there. Zeke will be excited to see you.
Oh, boy!
Matter of fact, why doesn't your mama come along? You can both stay for dinner.
Can we, Mama? Can we?
Sure. Why not?
Yes!
Sweetheart. Why don't you run inside and fetch a pail of water for your lovely new horse? She looks a bit parched.
Okay.
Don't forget to grab Dilly on your way out.
Yes, Mama.
First the dog, now this.
What can I say? I'm a giver.
You had no right.
Well, you've been ignoring me for days. I figured drastic measures were in order.
Unbelievable.
I'll take that as a compliment.
Let's go.
My thoughts exactly.
Potatoes are done. Careful, they're hot.
Slow down there, boys. You'll swallow your forks at that rate if you're not careful.
Hi.
My baby doesn't eat, he inhales. Been that way since the day he was born. Your entire herd out there couldn't have produced enough milk to satiate this little monster's appetite.
Mama!
Ruth, are you sure I can't help with anything?
If you ask me that again, you'll be sleeping in the barn with the cattle.
Sorry.
You can clean up after dinner, how's that? Brock can help you. Consider a payment for all the mud you've been dragging into my house with those damn boots of yours.
Yes, ma'am.
The casual chit-chat and friendly banter around the table were a welcome change from their usual quiet dinners at home. She began to understand why her son enjoyed his visits to the ranch so well. Sure, they made a happy home together in their little apartment above the hardware store, but this kind of family atmosphere warmed a person's heart clear through.
You sure Ruth and Caleb won't mind me staying?
Are you kidding? Ruth made up the bed with fresh sheets before you even got here. Tell me things, Abby. I need to hear.
What kind of things?
Things like what you told Caleb tonight. About Jonathan as a baby. I want to know about his first day of school, his first steps. Day he was born.
It was a day in late spring. I was hurting all day, thinking, like many women do, that it was another backache. But this one didn't let up and got worse and worse. Before long, I knew it was time. I sent for Lane and prepared myself as best I could, though it's nothing you can prepare for.
It seemed like an eternity before Lane got there.
And then?
Searing pain for nearly 3 hours. Somehow I got through it and had a beautiful baby boy to hold.
What did he look like?
He was pink all over. Just amazing, really. He had a lusty cry and a fringe of that signature Kincaid blonde hair.
Did Jed know he was mine?
We never discussed it. I don't know what he thought. He accepted him, loved him, and that was all that mattered.
Abby told Brock about Jonathan's first tooth, about when he learned to walk, taking spills and bumps, weathering childhood diseases, and saying his first words. The gunslinger listened as though she held the mysteries of the universe, hanging on her every word, asking for details and picturing the scenes and days in his mind's eye. He sat deep in thought, wondering what he'd been doing those weeks and months and years, and how his life would have been different if only it had.
Well, this is you. There's some extra blankets in the dresser if you get cold.
Where will you sleep?
I've got a cot made up in the bunkhouse.
I don't want to put you out.
I've slept a lot worse places than a bunkhouse, believe me. Thank you.
For what?
For sharing, I suppose. For sharing our son's stories with me and for letting me know him.
You're welcome.
I've made a lot of mistakes in my life. You're not one of them. Neither's Jonathan.
Please, Brock.
No, I need you to hear this. I need you to know. The mistake I made was not staying and facing your anger, not dealing with the situation and the consequences. A man prides himself on not being afraid. But I was a coward when it came to seeing how you'd been hurt and avoiding how you'd react. Yeah. I ran.
He'd never even come close to admitting his fault, and his confession took her by surprise. In all the years she'd lived with the secret of what they'd meant to each other and how he'd left and broken her heart, she had never cried. Not since those first emotional days when she'd learned of the baby she carried and her father had discovered the truth had she allowed herself to break apart under the hurt and betrayal. She'd girded up her defenses of anger and mistrust, gritted her teeth, and made a life for her son.
It's my fault. I accept the blame for your fear and the years of living with a man you didn't marry for love. I understand your anger and all the things you hold against me.
Just stop.
It's okay. Abby.
A great emotional dam exploded, and she was in no condition to turn back the flood. Years of pent-up resentment and suffering burst from her like nails from a dropped keg. She finally allowed herself to accept the truth she had always known, but never allowed herself to admit, that it was his leaving her that had broken her heart.
I'll take you and Jonathan back to town first thing in the morning.
Don't go.
You know what would happen. I can't stay and not touch you the way I want to touch you.
Stay and touch me.
But you hate me.
I can't hate you tonight. Not now.
What about tomorrow? I won't give you more reasons to be mad at me.
I'm done being angry. I need you to hold me tonight. To kiss me.
Abby.
Brock.
When she sought his lips in the darkness, he complied by kissing her mouth and drawing her tongue into his. When she needed air, he sensed it and kissed her neck, nipped her chin and her shoulder. When she craved his hands on her body, he satisfied her every wish by plucking her nipples teasingly, then flattening his rough palms over her breasts and intensifying the sensation. Abby didn't have a need that Brock didn't anticipate and cater to. Once she even thought she need only imagine her desire, and it became hers beneath his skillful attention. He gritted his teeth and withstood her intimate explorative caresses, tensing and releasing quick breaths. The touches he returned had her clinging to him and holding her breath in sweet expectation. He pulled her beneath him, entering her and rode her pleasure to its quivering climax, then jerked away and spilled himself on her belly. Reaching for the cloth, he gently wiped her clean and kissed her tenderly. The interruption was unexpected, forcing her to remember their situation. The last time, neither one of them had thought about the chance they were taking. This time, he had protected her. He might have planted his seed in her to force her to his will, but he hadn't. He had thought more carefully than she. Brock cradled her for hours, touching her hair, kissing her temple, her shoulder, and she slept. When he tiptoed from the room in the early morning darkness, she awoke at the loss of warmth. His remembered tenderness, his scent, and the gentle loving cocooned her, and she slept again. That was why Brock frightened her. He had the ability to crush her heart to a pulp, but only if she gave it to him again. Her future happiness depended on keeping herself safe from that possibility. So far, she hadn't done so well in resisting him, and her weakness was scandalous. Why then did being with him seem so right, so pure? Thank you.